Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new DivaDot exclusive interview. It's Melanie here, and I'm also being joined by Erin.
Hello, everyone.
And we are being joined right now by the legendary WWE Women's Champion, seven times, quite the record, Trish Stratus. I can't quite believe I'm saying that. Hello.
Hello. Thank you very much.
So, Trish, thank you for taking the time out to do this interview with us. It's such an honor to have you here at DivaDot, and I know everybody's going to go crazy when they see this interview because you have such a following here at DivaDot.com.
Well, I'm a big fan of your site. I think it's an awesome site and very supportive of anybody that supports women's wrestling, and you guys do above and beyond, so you guys have a great site. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Well, let's get into the questions because next Friday you are going to be traveling to the East Coast, New York and Connecticut for your first ever Stratus. Is it the Stratifying World Tour or what's the name of the of this?
I wish it was a world tour so I could go to more like everywhere also. But right now it's just the Stratosphere Tour. And I'm excited because I haven't really, I guess everything I've been doing lately, like I can say I've done quite a few things, but everything's in Canada. And I get asked a lot, like, oh, I hear about this. I'm like, yeah, it's in Canada, sorry. So it's exciting to finally, come back to the States and do something. And I'm just super excited to meet, see the fans again. It's been such a long time, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, I kind of jumbled up two of my first questions. I was going to say in the press release at your website, TrishStratus.com, where everybody can find all the details for this signing tour, you did kind of tease that it could turn into a world tour. Are there any plans for that? London, perhaps?
I would love to. I honestly, it's kind of one of these things where you go, first of all, the WWE provided amazing opportunities to have meet and greets, and you just kind of just get out there. And that's one thing you just notice, like, that's so key, to everyone, not only the popularity of the superstar within the WWE, but just keeping in touch with your fans, and being able to, and I really believe that, because WWE made us so accessible and made us go out there and let us, gave us opportunities to, mingle and have those meet and greets and things like that, that's what when the fans, because, coming from someone who was a fan herself, those opportunities, they mean something so much. They mean so much. You really connect with the person. So, so I would love the opportunity because I kind of thought, well, geez, I don't need the WWE to send me on an autograph tour because, now that I'm kind of putting it out there, I actually got really busy when I first retired and just didn't have, just went right into show after show and wasn't able to do anything like that. But I think that's my objective for 2011.
But now you're starting out small in New York and Connecticut, and fans can meet you from October 1st, which is next Friday, through October 3rd. You've done these autograph sessions a billion times before, as you mentioned, with the WWE. Have you ever had a weird encounter with a fan or received any questionable gifts at some of these autograph signings?
Of course. There's been certainly some interesting and memorable encounters, but that's kind of what makes it fun. It's kind of not one of those, awkward, I don't want this to happen again. I can't say that I've ever been that was inappropriate because, first of all, I'm kind of one of those, anything goes with me, you just be yourself, let's have fun, and if you're kind of weird, it's okay, sometimes I'm weird too, kind of thing. So there's been some interest. There's always a few characters at some of these events, for sure.
Well, even though there's been some of those experiences, for the most part, I'm sure it'll be an amazing experience for all of your fans to finally get to meet you if they haven't already. Have you had any, really amazing fans who've really touched your heart?
Oh, I have a core of fans that, I don't know, it's pretty amazing to me when I actually go, let's see, when's the first time I, made contact with them or met them or whatever, and I can say there's a handful of people that I can name that have been so supportive and have been part of me and my life and my career and everything since way back in my fitness days. And when I say way back, I can't believe it's been a long time. I started in 98 with my first fitness magazine. So it's been a long time, and I have people who are just fans from the fitness days. I have, one of my most special fans is someone from the UK actually, and I go over there whether he'll be the one who'll be spreading the word for me, but, you know, he's been a number one supporter. And I think, honestly, I'll tell you what, I began in the fitness modeling world, and Robert Kennedy, I kind of look at him a bit like he's the publisher of Oxygen Magazine and Muscle Mag Magazine. And he basically, I always say the story, but he kind of, you know, people say, how did you become a fitness model? But I truly say, it's kind of did what Vince McMahon did. He basically put me on the, like, my very first photo shoot was my first cover. Did my first professional photo shoot. He contracted me, put me on the cover, and said, this is Trish Stratus, and she's the hottest and newest in the fitness model. And, like, you know, people believed it. I mean, yes, did I have to work hard to get there? Yes. Did I have to, they threw me the ball and I had to carry it? Yes, absolutely. But he gave me that great opportunity and just kind of, you know, kind of instilled in me, take advantage of this opportunity. It's a wonderful one. And my little motto, which is preparedness meets opportunity, comes from him. It was like he basically said, I gave you this chance, this girl who, hey, I'm going to take you on your first professional photo shoot, and I'll see you in 6 months, go train. And he goes, you showed up prepared, you had all your poses, you studied, you researched, you did all your homework, and you showed up and you prepared. So he basically, you know, that's kind of how I moved forward with the rest of my, you know, my, that was my mantra, I guess you could say, moving forward. But one thing he did for me is he said, you know, you're gonna have fans now. So, you know, he said, you know, set up an office and have a fan mail base, and you start to get fan mail. And back in the day, like I'm talking 1999, 2000, we would have these ads in the muscle mags and whatnot, and it was to order 8x10s. And I'm in touch with some of those fans still. And so that's been a real big thing. Like even when I went to WWE, I think I might be one of the only people who came in with their website already. You know, TrishStratus.com has literally been around since 99. And I came in with my website and had that contact with my fans since that very beginning and maintained it ever since. I mean, there was a phase there where my website was not really updated. Now it's all changed. It's like me and my webmaster Brian's number one priority. But just getting fan mail and answering every single one of them. I literally, snail mail is still my favorite. I read all my mail. Sometimes and everyone knows this too. It takes me sometimes a really long time to get back to you, but I will get back to you. So I think that's, I'm sorry, I have long-winded answers, but my point is, I swear I'll answer your question at the end, was basically, and these things are all important, and I think the fact that, like, keeping that fan base all these years, I've had this group that's been around forever, and they support me continuously, and it's an amazing thing to have.
Well, another thing that they'll probably be following you to is the movie world. Back in February, it was announced that you were cast in your debut film as Jules in Bail Enforcers. What made you want to get involved with this movie and the movie business in general?
It was, you know, I always, that was the number one question I got asked when I retired was, are you going to go do movies now? And I guess Rock sort of laid that foundation for, or that path of like, I guess an option to follow. But it's not that easy. It's not just kind of like, yeah, I want to be a movie star. But, you know, he just definitely was born to be a movie star. But I just never really, you know, I did this show, Armed and Famous, right when I retired. And afterwards, I did some press in L.A. for it. And, you know, there was a few, you know, people like, oh, you got to move out here and you got to take acting lessons. But I kind of felt like I had done my career. Like, I mean, that's what I was passionate about doing. That's what I wanted to be number one at doing was wrestling. And I did my career, and I'm good. Like, I don't need to go begin another career. But I always said, you know, if a great project landed on my lap, you know, sure, I would consider it. And that's kind of what happened. The writer and director, Patrick wrote this script with me in mind and just thought of he needed a strong female lead. And he thought, oh, Trish, she's that Canadian chick who's a wrestling chick. She fights. Cool. I'll use her in my mind. And, you know, he tells me now, he goes, I didn't think I was actually going to get to you, but, you know, one person knew someone and someone knew somebody, and suddenly it landed on my lap. And it was a really great project and, you know, a great Canadian cast and crew. And I just thought, sure, why not? I didn't have to leave town. I get to stay home, which was nice, which is, you know, that's always a bonus. And I just enjoyed it. And my favorite part, I got to fight. I loved my fight scenes. I got to choreograph a lot of my own scenes. I got to work with a guy that he choreographed the fights in the movie 300. And he gave every character their own fight style, which kind of like, which to me is like what makes WWE, what made that women's division back in the day, our time, a really strong time, was because everyone had their unique characters, if you will. So every character in this movie had their own fight style, and it was really neat. Like, he's like, no, you can't do that move. She wouldn't do that. I was like, oh, really? She wouldn't do the Matrix? Okay. So it was, you know, the opportunity to try something new. I always love a challenge, and doing these amazing fight scenes, always love the, like, to explore new fight styles. And, it was a blast. Loved it.
Are there any actresses in particular you're channeling for this?
No, actually, you know what's funny? I chatted with me because he said to me, he goes, thank you so much for taking a chance on me. And I said, are you kidding? Saying thanks for taking a chance on me. I said, like, I'm not, I mean, I do what I do. You've seen what I do in wrestling. So I said, if Jules is pretty close to Trish, we'll be good. And I can say she definitely is pretty close to Trish.
Well, when can we expect to see the movie? Will it be mainly in theaters in Canada, or is it going to expand worldwide or anything like that?
They are just about finished the film. We actually, we were just about wrapped, we wrapped everything and we were almost done the film. And then we actually decided to film another sequence that we added this fight scene to the movie, and it's just like this killer scene that's going to be so cool. I can't wait for people to see it. There's actually a little clip on my TrishStratus.com, and I'm just fighting this gigantic man. It's really fun. Whereas my partner, who's this gigantic man, just watches. It's quite amazing. But it took us a little time to just kind of add that scene to the movie, and I think we're about 99% done at this point. So I think another couple, you know, I think end of fall is when we're looking. And I'm not sure the distribution yet. That's kind of the process has to happen, as I've learned, is you put the film together, and the next step is to figure out the distribution. So as soon as I know the answer to that question, you guys will be the third person to know.
Well, speaking of movies, yourself and former women's champion Lita, a.k.a. Amy Duma, you guys announced a few weeks back that you would be teaming up on a movie together. What can you tell us about that?
This is an interesting story. This goes back to one of these, are you familiar with the Mexican wrestling genre at all? Movies? Have you seen any of those types of films or anything?
A few. I'm not completely familiar.
Okay, well, if you guys have the opportunity to, like, even just Google or YouTube the Wrestling Woman versus the Aztec Mummy, or the Wrestling Woman versus Doctor of Doom, it's really one of these things where basically, if you can imagine, it's like superheroes in Mexico are, you know, the mass wrestlers, right? So they are, I mean, they're revered like a Hulk Hogan in Mexico, and the movies are like literally, I mean, it's like basically if you can imagine Batman, it's a masked wrestler who instead is the main character, and it's very campy and tongue-in-cheek and a little over the top, and you know, they show up like, you know, you're either in their mask and they're standing there in the police station having a normal conversation about the criminals that have gotten away, and yes, I will capture him after I have my wrestling match. Like, it's kind of very, like, it's kind of hilarious, but it's wonderful. It's a great little, like, genre that, you know, has a great following. And you know, Amy introduced it to me years ago, and we were at her place, we had a little sleepover, and she shows me this film, and we're like, oh, this is great. It was like our little thing. We used to say, we should show Vince, we'll do this gimmick on TV. Or like, you know, so it would be this ongoing thing. We kept saying, oh, we should, one of these days when we make our film, blah, blah, blah. And then when I actually did Balance Forces, I was like, you know what? First of all, I love the process. It was so fun. It's just kind of like you get to do like a two-hour, we're going to put on a two-hour like wrestling match, kind of like, you know what I mean? It was a really neat thing, playing this character for this whole time and culminating to a big match. So I texted her afterwards. I was like, hey, remember the Wrestling Woman? Da, da, da. And I said, we should totally do it. And she was like, seriously? And I was like, yeah. And then we just started moving forward with it. And all these little things started falling in place. We found some great people that we're looking to work with. And, so we're just, you know, looking to get it into development. And we'll see where we go. But, you know, we sometimes just got to say, heck, let's just do it.
Well, you've also announced the Stratosphere Yoga video game on top of everything else. What's the latest on that?
That has been one of these things where they were going to develop it for Wii. We developed it for that console, and then, I don't know, apparently, maybe the kids could tell me this, but Wii is not all the rage anymore. So it's one of these things. It's an ever-changing technology thing that you're trying to keep on top of. And by the time there was the logistics of everything worked out, the Wii thing, we decided we're not going to go with the Wii console, I think. And so we're now gone back into development, and we're still going to do something. We're just not sure the direction because there's all kinds of new technology. Xbox 360 has a natal technology that's all the rage right now. So I think it's a matter of like trying to, you know, not be trendy, and we don't want to do a game that is just going to be like, you know, the same as everything else. And we want to do something that's really, you know, kind of different. And it's really a challenge to stay on top of things with the way the technology is going. So we found that challenge. And now we're definitely working together. Freema and I are, you know, doing something for sure together. And we just got to find the right fit. And, again, you'll be the third person to know.
Well, we want to talk a little bit about wrestling and you know, it's with great luck that we have an interview with you today, because it's been quite the week. I'm not sure if you're aware about what happened on Sunday night at the WWE pay-per-view with the two Divas belts unifying, and they retired the Women's Championship. Obviously, you are one of the greatest Women's Champions in history, 7 times. What are your thoughts on WWE retiring such a historic belt?
Well, I have mixed feelings. I think it's one of these half glass, the glass is half full or half empty. Instead of looking at it as the belt is being retired or put it, you know, put to bed, I'm thinking, well, you know what? At least now, let's just focus on this and build this different thing then. You know, building a new legacy, building a new division, building some new women. And I think that's how you have to look at it. You know, first of all, the two belts was just not necessary ever. It's kind of like, get one, let's move forward. But I don't know. I'm kind of like okay with it. I feel like it's like, I don't know, it's a different time, a different generation. I feel like we did some great stuff with that belt, and maybe it don't get no better than that. Maybe it's one of those things, you know. It's like, let's just leave this here. It's pretty perfect, has a perfect legacy behind it, and let's start this, and we'll start to build this from here, because it's definitely a different time. And there's probably, I don't know, I'd say probably the biggest group of women that potentially could all work, you know, matches. I mean, most of them can work matches, and potentially you can have everybody, that's a pretty big division you can have if you really build everything properly. So I think looking at it like that, like almost like, okay, this is the new thing, this is the women's division of today, and let's build it. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah, I really agree with that, because, you know, the division has changed, and it's not quite the division that it was with yourself and Lita and Jazz and Victoria and all those amazing girls. It's more of a, I guess it's more divas wrestling than women's wrestling. We have shorter matches, and you have girls who aren't as experienced in the ring. And, you know, no disrespect to these girls, because I know they're trying their hardest and they're doing what they're told. But is it at all disappointing to you about the direction where this division has gone? Because, you know, you were one of the women that helped build this division up.
I think it's, I mean, is it disappointing? I don't know. I feel, I guess when I watch it, I'm like, oh, I guess I would book it differently. I'm sure everybody says that. But I feel like it maybe wasn't as focused on as it had been in the past. And when we say it's a different time, it really is. I mean, the show itself is different. You know, the whole product itself is very different than it was, you know, even if you look back to, like, you know, the 2000s, the early 2000s, and it's just such a different product, right? So I think it's natural that obviously just every division is different right now. I mean, you know, compare the tag team division to, like, where there was Test and Albert, and there was the Hardy Boys, and there was, you know what I mean, there was the Dudley Boys. I mean, it was a very different time. So I don't think I'm disappointed. I just look at it like, okay, let's get it rolling. Like, I think let's all focus. Let's get the title out. Let's get one title. Let's get everyone all together. Let's gather up our workers, and let's focus and build. Because, to be honest, I was watching recently, and, you know, I think what, you know, someone like Tamia, you see Tamia and Natty in there, and you're just like, oh my God, it's so beautiful to watch solid, you know, solid work in there. It's just the way they move in the ring, so athletic and so, like, definite movements, you know what I mean? And there's, like, when I look at that, I think, like, all I need to see is, like, let me take Natty and put her with Eve, or let me take, you know, Alicia and get her in with Tamia. I think they just need to start getting the veterans, or, you know, to just teach the other girls, you know, because you put two girls who aren't as experienced in there, and certainly it's going to be like, you know, I mean, they can only do what they can do, but there's no progression, right? So I think now that they've, I don't think I'm disappointed necessarily. I think I'm just, I don't know, possibly, I think this could possibly be a new start for a new type of women's wrestling. And, you know, I don't think it has to be better or worse than it was in the past. It's just going to be different.
Well, aside from those girls you just mentioned, are there any other divas that stand out in particular?
I just recently saw her. I was doing a little catch up. I PVR all my it's the digital recording, whatever we, I think we all call it different things in different countries. We have 3 different nations here. But so I had caught up on some stuff recently, and it was like, I basically kind of fast forward through the whole show, and just, I always watch my girl stuff, right? That's kind of just what I do. And I talk to, you know, a few of the girls here and there, so I try to, you know, give everyone and keep on top of everyone's stuff so that when they're asking me, I can be like, oh, when I saw this thing, right? So, I really didn't know much about, and when she came out, I got super excited. And when I finally saw her and Natty, like, working, I thought, that's exciting. Natty and I want to see more Natty. I'm really... I've been waiting for her to shine a little bit more, and I think now they're like, oh, gosh, she's great. Like, I think they just didn't give her the opportunity, and I think the stuff she's doing with the Hearts is going to be really special, and so I'm excited to see. I know she's going to do some amazing things, like, you know, and I'm not just being a biased Canadian or anything, but I really think she's got, you know, a great legacy in front of her. I think Michelle McCool and Layla are doing some fun stuff. I mean, they have the advantage because they're talking, right? I would love to see some more character development on all the girls. But obviously some character development on any of the girls is good to see.
Well, how often do girls, you know, ask for advice from you? I'm sure that happens.
I get a lot of texts here and there. I'm quite often, actually, I'm in touch with a few of the girls. It's nice. It's nice to, you know, I think it's also sometimes you get, I guess it's in the grind of the everyday wrestling, go, 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 and you get caught up in, like, what's right in front of you, and you tend to forget what's around you, or like, you can only see things a certain way. Like, for me personally, right, I feel when I went on the road, I'd go do my thing, but I had someone like Ron, my husband, who was at home, who was, you know, watching it from a different view, I guess. And so he was like, his feedback was so valuable to me because you get caught up in what's in front of you and you ask people around you, and it is one opinion, definitely, but it's great to just step back and you can ask someone who's, you know, someone who understands the product, you know, loves the product and is passionate about it and can give you something that's real, unbiased and will just tell you straight up and just deliver it from a fan perspective, which is so important because at the end of the day, that's what you're doing out there. You're delivering for the fans, right? So I think, it's neat when they call me, I try to, you know, be that for them. And I think it's important for them to be able to step out and have someone on the outside to be able to discuss and to monitor their progress and stuff like that.
Have you seen any of the All Divas season of NXT? Do you have any thoughts on that concept with it being all women? Do you have any favorites on that show?
I have to say, unfortunately, I'm not that season. I know there was a great-looking group of women that they showed, and I saw it on, I think it was actually on your site. I saw that you had showed something that was like, the group of them, but I haven't, I guess I should have probably gone to your site recently. You guys probably have a bunch of updated stuff, don't you? I have not seen anything about the show recently. I mean, I think it's a cool idea that they're going to do all women, and I think, sure, clearly the group they got now, the men, it worked, whatever they did and developed them along. So, hopefully we'll get a same group of women that are just, they're a very strong group, these guys that came out. I mean, they really have just changed the whole face of things lately, so it's kind of exciting. So maybe these women will do the same, but I haven't had a chance to actually see them individually. Tell me, what do you guys think?
Oh, well,
exciting.
I personally, I just think it's exciting to see women in general get that kind of opportunity. You know, like recently with how the WWE's been, they kind of get the short end of the stick when it comes to booking and time, you know, match time or any time, just for them to get a whole program dedicated to them, and to see up and coming girls is just something, you know, we've never seen before. And I just love the uniqueness of it.
Yeah, no, definitely giving them that opportunity is totally it's not a bad thing. It's definitely a good thing, and I think hopefully it'll be as positive as the guys' results.
Definitely YouTube Naomi Knight, Trish.
I will.
She's the standout.
Oh yeah. Okay. Good. I will. That's my homework.
Well, it seems like every year or so, there's a rumor that you may come back for an extended period and work a program with a current diva. Is that something you'd be open to, or like maybe for WrestleMania?
I would definitely, I'm always open for, like, I love wrestling. I love wrestling. I was put on this earth to tell stories, and whether it's, you know, it's, I don't know, just such a blessed position of, like, you look back and it's like, oh my God, I got to do that like every night or every week. It's amazing, right? So, I mean, if I was given the opportunity to do that again, sure. I always want to make sure that it's just the only way I'd go back is if I'm doing great stuff. I want to be able to do something that makes sense. I don't want to go for nothing. I mean, it's one of these things, like, they pretty much always invite me, kind of, you know, come by, and I think it's fun to do these cameos, But every time I've gone back, I try to make sure it made sense. Like, obviously, the John Cena having a surprise guest in Toronto, that was great. And, I mean, kind of awesome that I'm main eventing with John Cena and Beth, and, of course, an amazingly funny character, Santino. So pretty much an awesome opportunity. But then, you know, then the other one was the guest hosting was great. But, like, the last time we came here, the kind of, you know, I'm very close with Brian, the writer, and, you know, we always talk ideas, and you know, he basically threw a couple ideas at me, and we both agreed. It's like, nah, it doesn't really make sense right now. There's no reason for me to, I'm not just going to come for nothing sort of thing, right? But definitely, if there's something like, if we are approached with, like, this is a you know, someone we want you to work with, and this is a program, I would definitely, I'm a bit of a control freak, so we'd have to have some direction that we're going and where we're going to get to, and there has to be a result of it. Like, someone's got to, something's great's got to come out of it, right? There's not just, like, come in and come out for just for me to have fun. That would be a side component. But, I mean, something out of the women's division or out of the character or something has to happen out of it. And I think that would definitely, I would put that for sure, I would consider that.
Well, which diva do you think would most entice you to come back for a few months and kind of work a full program?
I think I've said this many times, but there's two women that I feel like Beth and I got to, like, got to dance a little bit, and we still got some dances in us. I think we had the kind of like the jazz and Trish thing going on, where it was kind of like, ooh, these two get in, it's going to be like, this is going to be interesting, you know. So that dynamic was not, I think it could be further explored. And the other one I always say is Natty. I've never had a chance to work with her. So I guess it's exciting to think of, like, who haven't I worked with, and just to bring a different dynamic. So, you know, Beth, where we have we've had a little bit, so enough of a tease so that people are like, ooh, when they get in, it's going to be good. And then Natty, again, is like someone who I think she's going to do some great things, and oh, I wouldn't mind being a part of it, sure, you know, if the opportunity came up. But she's just so good. Like, I just watched her, and, like, you don't get to see her often because she's kind of just always doing the ballet thing, but every once in a while, I just, like, you forget she's so good. There's just a difference in their movement, you know what I mean? You can just see this, like, that natural athletic movement that happens, and it's very solid and just deliberate, and it's really a pleasure to watch. So I would love to be a part of that. Yeah.
Do you keep up at all with the knockouts division in TNA?
I do via the internet. I haven't had a chance to really watch it, but I've been keeping track of everything, and I keep in touch with Victoria, Tara, / Lisa.
Well, we know that Mickey James just recently signed with TNA. Do you think she'll prosper there?
Mickey will prosper anywhere she goes because she is an amazing worker and she's a natural performer. And she, you know, no matter what show she'll always shine. She's just amazing and fans love her. And, you know, fans, they've got a chance to get to know her. They've seen her for so many years, and they know what to expect when she gets out there. And she's just a pleasure to watch, and fans always are, you know, they're never disappointed with Mickey James.
I want to reminisce on your career. I mean, you're a 7-time women's champion. You've had multiple WrestleMania moments, and, you know, your popularity was right up there with some of the top guys. Did you ever imagine you'd accomplish all that you did in those 7 years?
No way. God, I had no idea. I mean, I'd like to think that whenever I decide I want to do something, I try, obviously, I mean, I'm sure most people approach things like this, like, I want to be number one at this. So I definitely know I was approaching it like, I want to be remembered for what I'm doing here, and I did everything I could to try and be great at it. It's kind of like when people go, like, why don't you do movies? I'm like, if I was going to do a movie, if I want to be an actor, so I got to really, like, you know, there's some legwork you got to do, right? So I felt like, you know, to be great in wrestling, like, I had to make sure that I did all, you know, the training and just watch things and grow, and every time you go out there, do better than you did the last time, I think, you know. So, but I mean, I never expected it. It's a combination of having the right opportunities. And again, I'm not going to throw this out there again, but my motto is, like, preparedness meets opportunity. Like, there's so many opportunities that you're given in the WWE, and sometimes I feel like sometimes if you're not looking out for them, there you feel like you're not getting opportunities sometimes. Maybe you're just not aware of the opportunity, or you didn't take advantage of the opportunity. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And, you know, your career kind of goes hand in hand with Lita's, and it's obvious you're still friends today and you're working together on that movie. But even in 2010, the Lita versus Trish debate, you know, rages on the internet. What do you guys laugh about that, or do you wish that people would just, you know, stop pitting you against each other now?
I'm actually surprised that, like, they don't seeing that we were such good friends, I don't just go, ah, they're both good. But we do hear it, and I think it's exciting that they're just still talking about us. And I think that just is, you know, a testament to our hard work and the fact that we got to grow in front of the fans for like 7 years, you know, and it makes a difference when you're in front of the fans. I mean, it's not a coincidence that the fans were cheering like that for Mickey and not so much the other girls during that phase, because they know her. They understand her. They've gotten a chance to get to know her. You know, when Melina came back, they're like, oh, Melina, we know her. Okay, cool. Come back. We know her. You know what I mean? There's definitely, that's what we as wrestling fans, that's what we love, is that connection with that person. That's why we watch it like that, right? So we were just, you know, we were lucky to have that opportunity to be able to, together, side by side, grow our rivalry, right, and grow our characters. And we got to go off and do our own little, like, she was valeting over there, I was valeting over here, I was good guy, bad guy, whatever. We got to do our thing. But at the same time, we always had that little, you know, thread that was always there. And everyone knew that, like, the minute we would cross paths, something was up, right? And so we're just thrilled that we're excited to be, you know, seeing us, and they're talking about us, and they're just remembering a great rivalry. So that's kind of how we see it.
Well, you've had countless great feuds. I mean, we just mentioned Lita as well as Mickie James, but I personally loved your work with Jazz, and I think that's probably one of the most underrated feuds that you've had. But do you have a personal favorite?
It's hard for me to say because of that. Like, every single one represented something different to me and just, I mean, kind of took on a different dimension. Like, if you mentioned the Jazz one, you're right. It's not that I don't know if it's underrated or just not, like, it's almost overlooked, because you kind of, like, things got really hot right after that moment. But it was like, if things didn't get as awesome as it did with Jazz and I, we would have never gotten to the next level kind of thing, right? But Jazz was like, she grew me in the ring. Like, oh my God, she showed me how to do it. She was so patient with me. She let me, you know, do some really crappy clotheslines to her, you know. Like, she just, she was awesome. And, it's hard for me to really pick one. Working with her, that was, like, my growing stage. And her and Molly, I think, were the really, you know, for them, they were very experienced and just so generous, I guess you can say. You know, they were both just so, like, helpful and generous, and knowing that, like, we're doing this together. So, like, they were just not unselfish girls, I guess you can say. They were just like, you do your thing, I'm going to do my thing, and then together we're going to make this thing. And that's what we did out there. And they were just very supportive. And knowing that, like, I was like, I'm kind of crap, guys, sorry, so can you help me along? And they did. You know, I was willing to learn, and I was eager to learn, and they saw that in me, and so thank goodness. I was able to just really grow with those guys, especially with Jazz. My work got so, like, we started to really understand. I think that's when the fans were like, oh, okay, wait, so girls can do this now, too. You know, and then, of course, with Victoria, we took so many, like, big first steps. So just, the hardcore matches, and that me and Victoria sat there and just were like, we want to be like the guys, you know, and that was like, that's all we said. We want to be viewed like the guys, we want to work like the guys, and we want to take a chair shot like the guys, you know, and he helped us get there. And it was kind of like, I think we were almost under the radar that, like, Vince almost didn't realize what was going on over there. Like, we were just, don't mind us. We're just going to build a division over here. We're going to get really interesting over here. Don't mind us. Just, yeah, just give us our 2 minutes, or 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 10 minutes. And then suddenly we had this interesting women's thing going on, right? So, and then, you know, moving on. And then it was like, then Mickey, I mean, just having the opportunity to have a fantastic storyline and have a unique storyline and a unique character with it. It's like the movie. Like I tell you, it was like everyone, Mickey had a unique character. And then she had her moves. And then when you mix them with my moves, it gives us this interesting thing. So that's what it was. It was having these, which I think is lacking now. So having these unique characters who bring a different dynamic personality-wise. And then you have, now these are your moveset, this is my moveset. So now when you put this together, like, it's going to produce this interesting mess that no one has seen before, you know. So that's why I think I was very lucky to have them. So again, to answer your question with my long-winded answer. favorite time, I can't really go through favorite. All of them really were just, you know, super special, and everything meant something more. And, you know, it just got better and better every time for how it was interpreted, you know. So, I mean, I'm not going to lie, being main event with Lita, pretty awesome.
Well, you know, you were so popular as a fan favorite, but I loved heel Trish and I loved Tristian. Do you have a preference between being heel or a face?
See, that's another thing. If you had said, what's your favorite phase of your career, I could have hands down told you heel Trish. Yeah, that was the best. Loved that. if anyone who knows me knows that that's totally me, although not quite that mean. I'm sarcastic. I've been known to be slightly sarcastic at times. But so much fun, and it was really awesome to have the trust of Vince to go out there every week, had a promo, had a segment that was, you know, I got to kind of do my own thing, and that's where I really, I guess, tapped into my Second City skills, which is my improv skills, and really got a chance to just go with my own stuff and those really bad puns that I'm known for. Got to do them, yay. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun, and it was just, it's kind of sucked that, you know, Christian got injured right as we were just starting to get really hot, and, yeah, it's kind of a shame. But then again, you know, I guess everything happens for a reason, because that's what led into the Trish Jericho thing, and, you know, just everything, it all worked out. It was all good.
Well, tying into that, you and Lita competed in what must have been one of the first mainstream intergender tag team matches on that Armageddon pay-per-view, and you two took on Chris Jericho and Christian. What was it like competing in such a unique match? Is the approach for that much different from the typical diva matches?
Really different. But the more important thing is that it was different because it wasn't just a generic, Trish and Goldust, you guys go with, like, it wasn't, there was a storyline behind it, and there was a real, like, there was a meaning behind it. And me and Chris Jericho pitched this, like, we basically were like, thinking, we gotta find a cool way to do a match together. It'd be fun if we could, you know, we're talking to, you know, Jay and Amy or Christian and Lita. We're just like, hey, let's think of a fun way we can work together. And so we kind of pitched this idea, and it was neat how it turned into this great storyline, and then it turned into, after that, even, you know, a way longer storyline. So, but yeah, it was a neat approach, and I guess that could never happen nowadays on WWE television, huh?
No.
I love that. Yeah. Yeah, very unique, and then the characters to back it up made it even better.
Yeah, well, I remember hearing rumors back then that you had an active part in writing the storyline, or just, you know, more of a creative hand than most divas did. How much, if any, input did you have in most of your storylines, not just the Jericho one?
Pretty much 100%. Like I mentioned earlier, a control freak, but I'm a real perfectionist. I like things to make sense. I like to really, and it's a matter of like, and everyone's always said like, oh, did you ever have to do something you didn't want to do? I was never put in that position only because it's about the way you approach it, right? Like, it's always an open conversation. Like, we're going to create the story together. Obviously, they're going to give you what they're going to give you, but you can kind of turn it into your own. And I'm, you know, I just kind of, I like to see things like long term. So it's kind of like, if you're going to give me a couple things, like, we're going to work towards the pay-per-view and do this thing, it's like, cool. But then what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and make this match and make my moments kind of like, you know, I'll sort of, I guess, manufacture a longer storyline, and I'll pitch it, and then you know, they're really good about, like, you know what, if that works, yeah, let's go, let's keep going with it. I mean, that whole thing with Jericho and I, like, we pitched this, you know, male versus female thing, and we kind of had this neat storyline that would turn into, I mean, we were watching movies, and I was telling Brian to watch, we'll watch How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. There's this really neat thing that they're doing here where she's, you know, trying to josh him, and, you know, there's this whole little dynamic happening. We can maybe take something there. So, you know, you get them excited, and then you kind of make reference to other, you know, things that work in mainstream culture, and it works, right? So that whole thing, like, so like I said, we had this whole thing fabricated that we were going to go right to the end, and then at the end of that storyline, for after WrestleMania, Jericho and I were supposed to, in our storyline, we were going to be a team, and we were going to be this unique girl-guy sarcastic team that I think you haven't really seen that before, where they're equal talking partners that go out there, and they're just this kind of like, you know, I guess we're going to kind of be like a girl-guy DX combo, kind of. And, you know, but that was when Vince kind of sprung us on that one day. He's like, okay, you know what? You know what would be really neat? He's like, how about? And we're like, okay, yeah, what are we going to do together? Cool, what? And then he says, how about you turn on him and leave with Christian? And we're like, whoa, what? And, of course, there was that moment where we were like, but that's not, like, I'm flipping through my papers. That's not what I have written down at all, Vince. No. But of course, he's brilliant, and he nailed it. I mean, that was the best move ever for all of us, I think, at the end of the day. And actually, there definitely would have been some entertaining stuff for me and Jericho, but for me personally as a character, maybe I'm being selfish, but that heel run was pretty fantastic for me. So, so he, you know, like I said, you have plans, you pitch things change, but as long, you know, go with the flow and then just just make it yours and always just maximize the opportunity that you're given. That's kind of that was kind of how I approached everything.
God, I just remember that storyline. I mean, one thing that I remember being, you know, younger and when you're super, super into the storylines, like so much now I'm more into the wrestling. Back then I was really into storylines, and that thing with Chris Jericho was just the greatest thing ever for me. So when you turned heel, it was like, broke my heart. So just it's like a testament to how good you did it that I was just devastated. Like 13-year-old me was like, oh, why did she do that?
Holy, you just made me feel so old suddenly. You just did the line that I get now at our guest stand. You're like, I used to watch you when I'm little. I'm like, you are little. Oh, no. That's funny. But, no, I appreciate that because it was awesome. I couldn't, the reaction was just like, when I looked back, like, what a great, like, no one saw that coming. And that's a rare thing, right, when you don't see something coming. I mean, I guess that's because we didn't see it coming either.
Yeah.
But it was just fun, and I think a lot of people, which the number one thing I heard is people like, but you're so nice. I didn't think you could be mean and rotten. And it's like, well, it's like, well, it's kind of mean and rotten with TNA, but it's a different level, I think.
Yeah. Well, you know, kind of speaking of TNA, you've worked with a whole slew of, you know, male superstars over your WWE career. Is there any particular man that stands out to you?
I was lucky enough to have some really great chances, opportunities to work with some of the guys that, I guess, you look back and you're like, oh my God, I was in the ring with Vince. I mean, like, how amazing to be. I had a match with The Rock versus Kurt Angle and Vince McMahon. Like, that's a pretty cool opponent. So you're right. Like, I absolutely had some really excellent opportunities and neat chances to work with the guys. Working with The Rock closely, like to see him up close and watch him do his promos, you're like, oh my God, that's amazing. You know, it's like absolutely amazing to watch and just to see his work ethic and how he approaches everything. But I would say from like a partnership perspective, someone like Bubba Dudley, I mean, if you go back and watch the stuff that we did together, it's a lot of fun, and there was a lot of like really neat stuff happening there. And I remember he was the one who came up with that idea of he kind of came up with this idea of me winning the belt, actually, or working for the women's title when me and Jazz and him were working, and we put up some really awesome spots. And remember, I don't know if you remember the match, but it was like he had proposed the match was like a hardcore match, and the women's, both titles were up for grabs or something like that, or they were both on the line or something along those lines. And it was like a unique match, and it was his idea to work towards it, and it was fun. We had some really fun moments, and if you go back, of course, the Bubba Ray table tease stuff was like really fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I actually keep in touch with him now. He's a great guy, and he's super supportive, and he is, I know he runs his school, and I've talked to a few people who have just been out of his school, and they're just like, he's so tough on them, but what he says and his teachings are so valuable. Like, he's so passionate about the business, and I'm just, you know, a lot of people actually, if you ask about Bubba, if he doesn't like you, he's a bastard, people. you won't like him if he doesn't like you, you know what I'm saying? But if he supports you and he, you know, if you're on his good side, he's a super supportive person and a really caring and great friend, so.
Well, Trish, you've had such a career, 7 wonderful years and 7 wonderful title reigns, and I have no problem calling you a legend, but do you ever get freaked out when you hear that word, the legendary Trish Stratus, or Trish Stratus is a legend?
Yeah, that's why I giggled when you introduced me. I was like, oh, thank you. I kind of feel like silly, actually, because I mean, I appreciate it, but those are big shoes to fill to be a legend. So, I mean, thank you for saying that, but yeah. You know, this is, like I said, big shoes to fill to say that word.
Well, kind of, you know, tying into the legend thing, no doubt, there's really no doubt that one day you'll be a part of the WWE Hall of Fame. Is that really something you've thought about, or are you more lax about it? You know, kind of, if it happens, it happens.
If it happens, it happens. I would be absolutely honored to be in there, but I don't know what they have planned. So, I mean, if I'm worthy, that'd be awesome. But again, it's one of these things, like, I'm like, well, I kind of feel like I feel like I just retired, but I kind of didn't. It has been almost, oh gosh, you know, it was 4 years on the 17th, actually. I've been retired officially, which is strange, but I'm like, you know, it's funny because someone at my yoga studio is one of these, this is how I put it in perspective sometimes. Someone at my yoga studio, who they know me as Trish Yoga Person, right? There's the magazine was in, but yet the Wrestler magazine, I was on the cover of that recently, and there was like, I think it was like 18 or 19 pages long, the article, like, you know, so it's sitting there, and she goes, oh, well, I thought you had blonde hair when you wrestled, though. And I said, oh, no, that's a recent article. And she's like, well, why are you on the cover of that magazine, then? I'm like, I don't know. But that's a kind of an interesting thing to think about, isn't it? You know, but I mean, I just I think it's pretty interesting how the wrestling world works, and I think I'm pretty lucky. Like, I'm so lucky that, you know, people still care what I'm doing, and I just feel like I know that I went out there working for, you know, the fans and as a fan, like from a fan perspective, I guess you could say. So it's nice to say that some of my good work wore off, I guess you could say.
Well, I don't want to age you, but there's a lot of girls coming up right now who are, just debuting on TV, such as Madison Rayne in TNA, and Jamie Keys, who's one of the NXT rookies, who cite you as their role model. How does it feel to have inspired, you know, this current generation that's just coming up, and, you know, there'll be plenty more Jamies and Madisons in the next few years as well? How does it feel to inspire those girls?
Oh, I think it's awesome. I mean, anytime you do something, you want to be the best at what you do, and you want to leave a legacy, and you want to be able to do work that people can look at and say, oh, that was great. I wouldn't mind trying to follow in suit, you know? And that's all I did. Like, I tried to approach everything I did with integrity, even inside and outside the ring, you know, every media interview, everything I've done, and just regarding the industry and everything. And you know, it's funny because I think when I retired, it was like a little bit like, oh, you know, what do you think about the way they did treated Lita? And, you know, I mean, it seemed like every time they want to talk about WWE or something, it's like they want to be negative and this and that. But it's like, it's a wonderful opportunity to be a wrestler, and only a handful of people in this whole world can do that, right? So I just think, like, I know that I did my best. I gave 110% every time I went out there. And so when someone says, you know, I thought she was a fan of my work, or they're inspired by my work, I am very honored to hear that. And that's what you do. You try to go out there and leave a mark so that people can, you know, find a piece of it and use it for something. Or, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when I work out or when I do my fitness stuff, it's like, you know, I'm not saying that I know the best workout, but this is what I've done. You want to take a piece of it? Here, you can try that out. It's kind of like one of those things, you know what I mean? So I think it's an honor to hear that, and I think that's what you go out there to do. To just, this is what I did, I'm putting it out there, and, you know, help yourself.
Well, what words of wisdom would you give to those girls who looked up to you, and even younger girls who kind of want to follow in your footsteps?
If you decide you want to be a wrestler, please learn how to wrestle. I just think you're just a better commodity if you come in all rounded. I mean, don't you want to be able to offer everything that this is what this industry is, right? So learn how to wrestle, and like, it's just so important to really just analyze if you want to come into this industry. It's such a commitment, and it's going to take so much out of you, and so much, you know, like energy wise, and just you're away from your family and all these sacrifices, but what you're going to put your body through, not to mention, right? But just when you're passionate about something, it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing to be able to be passionate about something and then do it for a living. Like, I mean, that's a wonderful thing, right? So just make sure that this is your passion and you're here for the right reasons. Learn how to wrestle. And just try to be a well-rounded package, because that's how you're going to have the most success, right? Like, I think you can't focus on just one aspect of what a wrestler is. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, a wrestler is not just someone who can take a proper headlock, and it really is someone who you have to walk the walk and talk the talk through and through, and especially it is so about entertainment right now. The wrestling is so important. When you have that foundation and then you can deliver the other stuff, oh, my God, then you're gold, you know? So just be a master at every aspect of this craft, and just be passionate about it.
Okay, so when people look back at your career, what would you like your legacy to be remembered as?
I just did that. I entertained them. You know, I hear people, everyone's got an opinion about the best wrestler and that she was good and she wasn't good. And, you know, did I botch a Stratisfaction? Sure, of course I did, you know. But were you entertained when I went out there? Because that's all my objective was. I was like, I'm going to use the tools that I have, and I'm going to go out and do the best that I can with them. So I just wanted to go out and entertain every time. And as long as as long as people are entertained, then my job is done.
Well, it's really been an honor to talk to you, Trish, and we really thank you for taking the time out to talk to us. Are there any last words you have for fans that may be listening?
that I, let's get this world tour going. I think, go to your local stores. No, I'm just kidding. I honestly want to just thank all the fans. Like, it is crazy to me, like, how that person said, what? I thought you retired, like, 4 years ago. It is crazy to me that, that I still have fans that are that hear about what I do and are interested in what I do and still are supporting me in what I do. Everything from the movie to the television shows I've done or, you know, just the various events, they're there for me, right? And I do believe that I've done, you know, I'm doing my end. I'm trying to keep everything updated and try and stay in touch with everyone. And I'm trying to be as accessible as, you know, as I can be to everybody. So I appreciate everyone's support. And I just, I got some exciting things on the horizon that I, you know, look forward to sharing with everybody. I guess we got to do another interview, but my Stratosphere brand is about to grow even bigger, so I'm really excited about it. And it's like I said earlier, to do what you like, to be passionate about what you do for a living is kind of an awesome thing. So I mean, obviously opening my yoga studio allowed me to do that, and you know, something I'm passionate about, and then just turning my background, the fitness background, and just all the stuff that I've done, you know, over the years, bringing all that experience is going to be able to be put into what I do for a living. So it's very exciting. So.
Well, thank you once again, and everybody, you can go and meet Trish in New York and Connecticut October 1st, that's next Friday through next Sunday, October 3rd, 3 autograph signings in the New York and Connecticut area, so please visit Trish's official site, trishstratus.com, for all the details on how to attend. Trish, once again, thank you so much. It's been a huge pleasure. Thank you to everybody that's been listening.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.